His presence never gets old. His word never gets old. His truth never gets old. As long as we keep it activated. Amen? As long as we don't grow dull. As long as we don't allow the enemy to make it boring. Because that is the lie that the enemy is trying to sell each and every one of us every single day to sway us from the true reality. Is that everything you're doing as time goes on is not the same as it was when you first started doing it. And I'm here to tell you right now that God's presence is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. The enemy is going to try and pervert that. He's going to try and lie to you about that. He's going to try and cause you to get in your feelings and come in this house and wallow in your pity and not praise the Lord with everything you have. And when you fall into that place, you're in serious danger. So no matter what you go through during the week, no matter how hard your life is, I don't care if your whole entire family just died. You come into this house, you bless the Lord with everything you have, and I'm telling you right now, He will make an amazing exchange in your life day in and day out. Amen. You know, when you think about somebody like Job, I know we were just kind of talking about this the other day, but Job lost it all. Children, family, money, houses, got sick, suffering, near death. His wife told him to turn his back on God. He rebuked his wife, told her to be quiet. God is everything. So no matter what came against him, he worshiped the Lord with everything he had. And what did the Lord do? He restored everything a hundredfold. Amen. You know, in these times that we're in, we all know things are crazy. We all know the end is near. We all know that the devil is running rampant. He's trying to bring destruction on everybody he can because he knows his time is short. The main people he's targeting are God's people. Amen. He knows people that are already in captivity. They don't praise the Lord. They don't worship the Lord. They don't serve the Lord. They're of no danger to his kingdom. He's already got them. The only danger they are to his kingdom is if people like us stay in position and bring the message to those individuals so that they can become a danger to his kingdom as well. But if he can pervert us, if he can stray us, then we're not going to be in position to bring rescue to those individuals that are lost. Amen. So that's his mission. That's his goal. His goal is to defile the hearts of the people of God. Amen. And if you think about the majority of the Bible is written to the church, and it's written to the church for a reason. Because the people who wrote it knew that there was a devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy all of mankind. And the people that are supposed to be used to rescue mankind are people like us. Amen. So in these times, it's vitally, vitally important that we do not lose sight of our identity. That we do not allow the enemy to get us to a place where we fall into a defiled and contaminated heart. Because our heart is the root of everything. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 15, 1 through 20. One of the coolest things about Jesus is he was as real as it gets. Amen. He didn't play games with people. He wasn't shy. Let's just say that. He spoke boldly and he called people out when they needed to be called out. And he seemed to really enjoy calling out the scribes and Pharisees. Amen. And letting them know what a disgrace they were to his name because they were leading people in the wrong direction. And it says in verse 1, let's speak it. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" And I just want to stop there for a minute. And I want you to know off the bat that I am not telling anybody that they do not have to wash their hands and they do not have to take a shower. All right, you got to get clean. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you go work on a car all day, you got oil all over your hands, and you can come inside and grab your food and just chow down. That's not what I'm saying at all. All right, This is a spiritual aspect, and as we go on, you'll understand why I'm saying that. So it says, he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has planted or has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? I can only imagine the frustration he had to deal with. Like, he's got these guys traveling with him, seeing signs of miracles, wonders, all this stuff going on, and they still don't have a clue about what he's talking about half the time. And he says in 17, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Amen. So basically, you're not going to go to hell because you didn't wash your hands before you ate dinner. Amen. But you should still wash your hands before you eat if you got crap all over your hands and all that stuff. More importantly, what he's getting at here is, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. What's going on inside of you is what matters. Amen. The scribes and Pharisees took massive amounts of pride in how they dressed, how they looked, how they spoke, how they acted in public, how strict they were on the traditions of the law and all that nonsense. Jesus said, I don't care about any of that stuff. Where is your heart? What is your heart set on? What is your mouth speaking from your heart? Amen. How much do you truly love me? Are you saying you love me and then behind closed doors doing whatever you want? Or are your words actually backing up what your action is? Amen. There's a saying in the world that we used to use, and it was real recognizes real. Amen. Jesus recognizes Jesus. You may think that you're faking people, but you're not faking God. Amen. The bottom line with all this stuff is, we came to get cleaned up. We came to get freed up. We came before him contaminated, defiled, and a mess. Amen. So now that he's brought us into his kingdom, he's brought us in, he's given us another chance, he's given us the opportunity to get rid of all the old, to search our heart through, get rid of the contamination, the defilement, the disgustingness, and get cleaned up. Don't take that opportunity for granted, trying to look good in front of other people without being real about it. It's not about what people think about you. It's about what he thinks about you. Amen. That's what's going to get you home. You can impress all the people in the world you want to, but if your heart's contaminated, you're not going home. Amen. So we've got to take it serious. Your works or service alone will not save you. You can't hide behind your service because darkness will always be exposed. Period. Faith without works is dead. We know this. But works without a pure heart and clean hands nullifies your service and your witness. Question we always need to be asking ourselves is, what are our motives? What are our intentions? Amen. There are three things that we must get real with. The The first thing we must do is get real with the fact that we came into this world defiled and contaminated. Amen. Every single person that was born into this world came into this world defiled, contaminated, and in a life of sin. Be it curses brought down our family line, addiction, bondage, perversion, whatever it is. We all came into this world contaminated. The second and a very vitally important thing that we must do is get real with the fact that we came to this ministry and to Jesus defiled and contaminated. We came here so that we could be shown the root causes of the defilement and contamination of our hearts. Amen. So we need to all make sure that we completely understand that, because there's multiple parts to this. It's realizing that you were brought here to get free from defilement and contamination and expose the root causes. And it's also a good thing to understand that you came before Jesus' throne for you. You didn't come to point out other people's garbage. Amen. You must first search yourself through and walk in obedience before you are called to fix other people. Amen. And number three, the third thing we must do is get real with the fact that even though we've been washed clean, the enemy is constantly trying to get us to a place of being defiled and contaminated. It is an ongoing battle. We know that every single day of our life, the old man is trying to take dominion over us. The flesh is trying to take dominion over us. We learn this day in and day out. We know this. We hear about this, but for some reason we still fall into the flesh. Amen. So this is just a reminder for each and every one of us to not take lightly the gifts that we've been given in this house. We get fed tremendous amounts of amazing, amazing information. Amen. And I know that it can get to a place where it's like, I've heard this before, or I know this, or I've been there, I've seen this, and that's not for me. If you're in a place like that, you need to quickly repent and get out of it, because I can assure you that everything we learn in this place is for each and every one of us. It may not be today. It may be a month from now. It may be a week from now. But don't ever let yourself get in the place where you're saying, I've heard this before. I know this already. Because if you're in that place, you're missing something. Amen. So in this, one of the major ways that the enemy brings defilement and contamination of our hearts is our tongue. The things that we speak, the things that we agree with. You know, we have that famous saying here that's put reaction in a chokehold until response comes. That takes practice. Amen? It takes a lot of practice. It takes mindful practice. You don't become an expert at something overnight. It just doesn't work that way. So we have to consciously put forth the effort to start surveying our thoughts. We have another famous saying called, who told you that? Amen? We must practice these things that we learn. You hear them over and over and over again for a reason. The reason is they're going to save your life. Amen? They're going to keep you from sowing in the flesh and reaping corruption. They're vital. They're vitally important to our success in the kingdom of Christ, not just for us, but for those that are out there in need. So James chapter 3, verse 1. Says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And I just want to stop there for a minute. That lets you know right now that what we have been called to is a higher call, and we are responsible for that higher call. Amen. It says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So there's not going to be tons and tons of people that are called to the position that we're called to. We've been brought to this ministry for a reason. It's not by coincidence. We're fed the stuff that we're fed because there is a higher call in our life to deliver a higher message to individuals, to reach a higher amount of people. Amen? And we have to take that seriously. There are stricter judgments upon us from the throne room because of what we know. And we have to take that seriously. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. A defiled heart comes from the tongue. What you speak is what you eat, and what you eat is what you become. Constant conversion of the soul and purification of the heart is vital. We must learn to take dominion over the old man and keep the new man in action all the time. And again, this takes practice. This takes training. This takes a willingness to die to yourself. This takes a willingness to look inside and to truly see what's going on inside your heart. Amen. This is a time and season where everybody needs to be spending extra time getting before the Lord and examining your heart. Where is your heart? What are the things coming out of your mouth? What conversations are you involved with? What are you doing when people aren't looking? What are you talking about when people aren't looking? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Amen. These are questions we all need to be looking into. Is my light shining all the time? Or is it only shining when there's people around that mean something? These are vital questions. Vital, vital questions. And the answer to everything is you need to realize that Jesus is around you all the time. So he's seeing it all. You're not fooling anybody. It'll all be exposed in due season. Amen. We've seen this time and time again. I've been around here 8 years and have seen so many people who look like the brightest, best, most spirit-filled individuals you'd ever seen. Touched, changed, delivered, praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking with fire, tongues, I mean, giving teachings that are phenomenal and everything. And behind closed door over a period of time, they're touching things that they shouldn't be touching. They're involved in things they shouldn't be involved with. And over time, it gets exposed. And a lot of times, it's almost a surprise. It's like, holy snap, I would have never thought that about that person. Amen? It's wild. It's mind-blowing. But it's a reality check. You know, when I was working on this teaching, this has been a reality check for me. Because I know first and foremost, when a teaching comes, it's for my temple. It's for my house. I need to examine me, just like we all have to examine ourselves. Amen. I do not want to have to get to that place where the Lord says, you have a defiled heart. You're not coming in. I don't want that. So I want to take the time now and search myself through, examine my heart, examine my motives, examine my intentions, and make sure they're aligned with the throne room. Make sure that what I want to say out loud here is what I'm going to be practicing when nobody's around. Amen. I don't want to be a blind leader of the blind. I don't want to lead people off a cliff. And you shouldn't want to lead people off a cliff either. That's why your heart posture must be first and foremost in everything you do daily. It's, where's my heart, Lord? I want my heart on you. Fix my heart on you. I exchange my heart for your heart. Any impurity, expose it, Lord. Expose it. Teach me how to get rid of it. I know they're there. I don't want it anymore. You've got to get real with him. You've got to get real with yourself and know that you need Jesus. You need a Holy Ghost cleansing day in and day out. And the only way to get it is getting real with yourself and with him. Amen. It's so wild, man, because you think of your entire body. The most power we have in our entire body, it's not the arms, it's not the legs, it's not the feet, it's not any of that, it's the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, when I read that scripture and I hear about the rudder of the boat, you know, it's like our life with our tongue. We have the power to drive ourselves off of a cliff or to drive ourselves into the promised land. And the most vital thing about that that is eye-opening and awakening is our tongue is allowing ripple effects to either bring destruction in other people's life and lead them off the same cliff or lead them into the promised land as well. Amen? So it is not just your tongue. Your tongue is in service of the kingdom, which is in service of your brothers and sisters, which is in service of those that are lost out there in the world. And that is a vital piece of ourselves that we have to learn how to tame and get in divine order. Amen? Another big one is pride. Pride is a huge one. Pride is a major blinder. And we have got to make sure that we are getting in a place with the Lord, taking it seriously, and exposing all this stuff and seeking exposure. You know, we learn it day in and day out. Seek exposure. Seek conviction. Examine yourself. We hear all these things, but it's vitally important that we actually do these things. That we're not in service, nodding our heads, saying, yeah, I got you. Yeah, I hear it. I hear it in the teachings. I hear it here. I hear it there. I hear it there. Get your butt in your prayer closet. Get before the Lord and start talking to Him. You've got to get real with Him. You've got to get it all out. You've got to allow Him to expose it all. Stop looking around you at everybody else and what they're doing, what you think they're doing, and look at you. Amen? Nobody can cause me to leave God's perfect will. Nobody. I can't say, this person did this, so I'm out of here. Take that before the throne room of God and see what He says. You're like, I gave you the authority to overcome that. Period. That person had absolutely nothing to do with your decision to leave. Defilement and contamination in your heart caused you to leave because you allowed it in. You didn't seek out conviction. You didn't repent and turn. So now you got offended by somebody and you stepped out of divine order. It's not their fault. You got to pay the price. 1 Peter 5:5-11. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Does being submissive take being humble? I'll tell you, for me, when I first came into this ministry, and being locked up in different places in my life, the hardest thing I dealt with was submission to authority. That was one of the biggest things. And the root of lack of submission to authority is pride. If you will not submit to authority, you will not submit to the rules, you will not submit to the kingdom of God, you are prideful and arrogant, and you got problems coming. So, hallelujah. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may draw back into contaminated heart and defilement of the heart, which is devouring you. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This, when the Lord spoke this to me, it was kind of an eye-opening thing, you know, and it's really easy to get going and, you know, doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, we come in and we've lived a worldly, crazy life most of our lives. and to come into a place and finally start getting cleaned up, you know, and you finally start seeing like good fruit bearing in your life, and you're starting to see some righteousness, you're starting to get touched by the Holy Ghost, you're starting to be a minister to family and friends, and people are just like, man, I can't believe how much you've changed, you know. So we start seeing all this stuff, you know, it's new to us, and it's awesome. So in this, the devil knows that it's awesome. The devil knows that it's new to us. The devil knows that we can be vulnerable in that. And he will try and slide in with pride and slowly bring glory back to you. Slowly bring your eyes back to you. And the word the Lord gave me was, pride will blind you so smoothly that you will begin to touch unclean things and still believe that you are the most humble, godly person in the world. And that kind of hit me, because it really caused me to do a self-examination and search myself through and saying, Lord, don't allow this to happen to me. I don't want to be blinded by pride. I don't want to be contaminated and defiled. I don't want to lead my brothers and sisters down the wrong path. Amen. So don't think that any one of us is completely and utterly free from the attack of pride. I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you get up here and teach. I don't care if you've been here 30 years. The enemy will come at an opportune time to try and cause you to bring a drift to other individuals aside from yourself. So take it seriously. Amen. I know I say that a lot, and I sense that in my spirit big time with everything we've been hearing and with all the teachings we've been getting, and in the last one with the breakthroughs and all that stuff. If you want breakthrough in your life, you've got to take this stuff serious. Breakthrough comes to those that are in divine position. And this is an opportunity for us to get cleansed from all defilement and contamination so that we are in position to receive those breakthroughs, to receive the blessing that the Lord has coming. God will never break the rules for you. Amen. God will never change the rules for you. So if you think that you're on some special high horse where things don't apply to you because God sees you differently, you're out of divine order, I can guarantee you. The rules of the kingdom are the rules of the kingdom are the rules of the kingdom. This book hasn't changed. It's not going to change. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's past, present, and future. It's multidimensional. But the rules and regulations and guidelines that we are called to live by and fulfill that come from the Word of God, they do not change. And we've got to begin to understand that the rules that we are given by God's authority are appointed by the throne room of God. I don't care how stupid you think they are. Period. They are the rules. They are the rules of the kingdom. They are God's rules. If you break God's rules, you're out of order. I don't care how stupid you think the rule is. If you can't submit to a stupid rule, you can't submit to God. You can't submit to God, you can't receive the blessing. I'm telling you, when I first came in, I had the biggest problem with some rules. I thought they were the dumbest, idiotic rules I've ever heard of in my life. And one of them was, I wasn't allowed to stand by the kitchen window and look out the window. I wanted to tell my house manager, who told you that? You want to tell me who told me that? Who told you that? I can't look out the window? What are we, in prison? I should have just gone to prison. I mean, but the Lord humbled me. You know, he brought me to a place of saying, why does that rule matter so much to you? Why? Why do you care about that? And I said, I don't know. And he said, because you have a spirit of stinking rebellion, and it needs to be broken off of you. And you need to do a new thing. And that's what I brought you here for, is to do a new thing. So submit to whatever you think is stupid, because if you were so smart, you wouldn't be here. Period. And I said, my bad. You want to talk about feeling this big? I was like, whoa. But it was one of the most harsh but pleasurable rebukings I ever got from the Lord. Even though it made me feel this small, it made me realize that it's okay to be that small, because my God is the biggest God ever, and as long as he's with me, I'm blessed in everything. And that is a place of humility and humbleness, knowing that you're nothing without Him. You can do nothing without Him. If something bothers you, it doesn't matter. Everything's going to work to the good because He's with you. So just submit. The more you submit, the more you get touched by Him. The more you get touched by Him, the cleaner you get. The cleaner you get, the less the devil can touch you. The less the devil can touch you, the more God can use you. The more God can use you, the more blessing you receive. The more blessing you receive, the more blessing you can give. It's an amazing, phenomenal circle of the kingdom. And it will cause you to be filled with joy beyond your wildest dreams, which will be the greatest blessing of all, that you're able to not only be joyful, but to give joy to others that are miserable and wretched and feel terrible like we were one day. Amen. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 10. There are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision or those of the faith, those that are believers, those that are so-called Christians, whose mouths must be stopped. Hallelujah. Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. You know, one of the things that I love about this is it says to rebuke them sharply. And to me, everybody's like, oh, rebuke, oh, I got rebuked and all this stuff. Rebuke is to save your life. Amen. God uses rebuke to get us back in divine order, divine position. And why does He do that? Because He loves us unconditionally. Because He wants us to receive the fullness. So when rebuke comes, take heed to it. You know, we hear this time and time again, but so often, even though you hear it every single day, you get rebuked and you get offended. And that alone should cause you to search yourself through, because there's obviously some defilement and contamination in your heart if you can't receive rebuke. And a mindset of saying, thank you. Thank you for caring so much about me that you're willing to put yourself in an uncomfortable position to come tell me that I'm out of order so that I can get back aligned with God, so that I can receive the fullness. It's not always easy to rebuke people. It's not. You think people just are just having the best time of their life coming to rebuke you. And that's not the case. We would much rather love it if you just did what you were supposed to do from the beginning. And there didn't have to be a rebuke. I mean, God would probably love that. Man, this is awesome, man. I don't even have to rebuke nobody. They're just receiving my counsel, correction, and direction. They're just putting it into practice. Praise God. They're doing great. But He allows us rebuke so that we can get back in position. Amen. It'd be much easier for Him if we just did the right thing and He never had to worry about it. But that's not the case. So receive rebuke with an open heart, knowing that people love you. God loves you. And we want the best for you. You know, people in the church, man. I mean, I know people growing up. My family was in and out of churches and all that stuff. And somebody says something to them that they don't like, they leave the stinking church. And they go find another one. It's like, dude, these people are just trying to help you. They're trying to give you counsel and lead you in the right direction. And some people are just happy where they're at. They're happy going to church every Sunday. They're happy tithing. They're happy living that life. And they're playing the game. They are living with a defiled and contaminated heart, playing the game of church, thinking that they're better people because of it. And that's not the case. Don't get yourself in that position. So in this, Pride, it brings you to rebellion, which brings you to disobedience, which brings you to a defiled and contaminated heart. Once your heart is defiled and contaminated, it's only a matter of time before you are exposed. So don't ever think you're fooling anybody. The only way out is to take heed to the voice of conviction, truly turn away from the sin, and get washed clean. If you ignore the voice of conviction, you will eventually end up with a seared conscience, believing the lie that you are okay. Amen. You know, one of the major things that causes people to begin to touch unclean things and begin to allow, you know, the voice of a stranger to come in and allow defilement and contamination to come in is desiring the things of the world. And a lot of times the things that, you know, it's not that you're, people are always desiring the opposite sex or whatever. It's just, you know, early on for people in the program is desiring a job. I want a job. I need to make money. I need to get my license fixed. I need to do this. You know, it's things that they're legitimate things. Amen. The key is not allowing those things to dictate your actions. And I'm going to explain that a little bit. So when we come in, we are here to meet Jesus. We are here to get transformed, set free, broke free, cleaned up, cleansed, foundation under our feet, healed and delivered, set free. Amen. That's what we're here for. So that must be our primary focus, day in and day out, through and through. It must be Jesus, period. Not kids, not family, not finances, not the opposite sex, not a car, not a driver's license, none of it. And I'm going to tell you why. One little distraction from your foundation being built will cause a crack. One distraction. When I first came in, and I can only talk from my testimony, amen, not to boast on anything, because I, you know, everybody knows I was an idiot by nature, and God worked a miracle in my life, and I praise the Lord every day for it. I know to God be the glory. I have nothing to do with it. He blessed me with everything, man. But I know for me, when I came in, I was absolutely sick and tired of everything. And I was very, very happy that God caused me to truly put my heart at the altar and allow him to show me everything and to deal with everything and put me in a place where I didn't want any distractions. I didn't care about a car. I didn't care about a job. I pretty much got fired from serving for the ministry and got sent out to go work. I didn't even want a stinking job. I wanted to stay with the ministry and do Water for Life and hang out and do all that stuff. And Pastor came to me one day, he's like, well, you got to go to work. I was like, no, I want to stay here with everybody here. I was like, I don't want to do that. But that's what had to happen. But in that, it was like, not the kids, not the money, not the finances, not the driver's license, not the woman, nothing. If a girl tried to talk to me, I rebuked the fire out of her for saying hello to me. Don't even say hi to me. Don't speak to me. I want no distraction in my life. Nothing. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I'm here for. That's all I need. That's all I want. Everything else that he brings after that will come. Period. Bottom line. And it did. Every single thing that everybody desires and lets themselves be led out of position chasing after comes after he has built the foundation and you have chased him in his righteousness. He adds all things. I didn't even chase after my driver's license. It came. After being suspended for 10 years, it came. A vehicle came for free. A wife came 5 years later, but it came. Took time. Money came. My kids came. My family came. I put all that stuff off to the side. It was on the shelf. Mom Maureen told me one time that it was that we are literally in a military operation. And we have to begin to see it as a military operation. When guys are in the military and they go off overseas to war, they take their families, their children, all their distractions, and they put them on the shelf. Because they know that that will get them killed. If that's what's on their mind all the time over there. They're going to be distracted. They're going to be weak. They're going to be worried, and they're going to die. So I had to put everything on the shelf. You have to put everything on the shelf and dive into him. The devil will come and try and lie to you and say, oh, you need to do this for your kid. You got to do that. You got to make this. You got to make this happen. It's a lie from the pit. You weren't doing none of that stuff when you were out there. What makes you think you're going to actually do it before you get completely set free? Bottom line. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness with everything you have, and he'll add all these things to you. And you know, this isn't just for people that are in a program, man. This is for the body of Christ, period. If they put him first in everything, their marriage will work out. Their finances will work out. Their debts will work out. Their vehicles will work out. Their kids will work out. This applies to everybody globally. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. That is a vital promise of the Lord that people do not pay attention to. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if your heart is set on him, he will bring the treasure. Amen. If your heart is truly his, you will be blessed in every way. Period. 2 Samuel chapter 12. When I read this, this was very eye-opening to me, because we all know that, you know, David is like, he's like God's man. You know, like we learn that he is a man after God's own heart. He was one of the most blessed individuals just because of the fact that he understood the power of worship. He understood the power of relationship with God. And he understood the power of obedience. But like us, he also made some really stupid decisions that cost him a lot. I mean, they cost him. They cost him big time. So in this, right before all this, this was when David became a Lustafirian and started lusting after his right-hand man's wife. And he sent one of his best soldiers out to the front line so that he could get killed, so that he could take the dude's wife. I mean, you talk about treacherous. That's a pretty messed up sin. I mean, that's pretty stinking bad. So in this, he got a decent rebuke and decent consequence for it. And in verse 1, 2 Samuel 12, verse 1, let's read it. It says, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men. I love this because he kind of gives him a little parable to kind of show him what's really going on. And he said, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger, when he heard this, David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. So he tells him this parable, basically, of this guy, and it just sets him off of what the guy did. It said, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Could you imagine when he heard that? I just imagine his heart probably dropped by hearing how he was ready to, like, go take a crew and go murder this dude and take his stuff and give it back to the guy who just got robbed, basically. So I don't know if you understand the story. So basically a rich guy took the poor guy's lamb because he didn't want to use one of his own, and he killed it for some random person. And it infuriated David. How many times do we do stuff like that? Point the finger at everybody else when we're doing the exact same thing. Judging other people and not judging ourselves for the stuff that we're in agreement with. Amen. That is how quickly pride can blind you to where you're thinking that you're just fine, everything's good, you are righteous, and you are the hand of the vengeance of the Lord, and you have to point out that person's dirty laundry, and you're doing the same stinking thing. Just an eye-opening little thing. So let's continue. So then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel." So we know that we're hiding things in secret. God will expose them in open. Amen. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He acknowledged it. He repented. And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." So we all know that no matter who we are, no matter how much we love the Lord, no matter how much we chase after him with all of our hearts, we are not given a free pass to sin. We have got to keep a constant examination of ourselves and not allow defilement and contamination to come in, because we will reap what we sow. You know, it's not as harsh now as it was back then. You know, we have the power to break curses off our family lines and all that stuff, but we still reap. And I don't think the Lord's going to strike down your child dead like he did David's, but in that, David was a man after God's own heart, and he suffered the repercussions of his sin, of his wrong decision-making. Amen. So then it says, "Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and laid all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground. He washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, representation of exchanging the old for the new, and he went into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. This is the difference of a true believer, a true worshiper, and a true follower of Christ than someone who isn't. He knew that he sinned against the Lord. He openly repented for it. And even though bad things happened, he washed himself clean, he anointed himself, and he dove into worship in the presence of the Lord. This is vital. Anytime we make a mistake, anytime we know we've fallen into something, we can't allow the enemy to sway us into disgrace or cause us to get to a place where we feel unworthy. God is there waiting for us every time. You may have to suffer consequences. There may be reaping involved, But if you are a true servant of the Lord, you are truly serious about not allowing defilement and contamination to come in, you are going to wipe yourself off. You're going to get before the Lord. You're going to repent with all your heart, and you're going to worship Him with everything you have to remove that defilement and contamination. And this is the difference between a true worshiper and somebody who ends up falling by the wayside. Don't allow your mistakes to dictate your outcome. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to have problems. But don't allow it to dictate your outcome. Get yourself cleaned up. Get back in His presence and worship with everything you have. And continue to search yourself through. Amen. And it says, our connection with God is heart to heart. So if there is any defilement or contamination in our hearts, there is a disconnect from God. A defiled and contaminated heart causes a breach in the divine connection with the Father, which allows the enemy access. Only true repentance and worship can restore connection. So when I hear that, I know a lot of us, when we think about connection and everything like that, I know one of the things that drives me nuts is internet connection. And I'm sure it does a lot of people here. Amen. Your internet goes down and you have bad service or whatever. People start going crazy and they lose their minds. Oh, I got to get my internet back. I can't do this. I can't work. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's even more so the mindset we need to have with God. I do not want anything to interfere with my connection with the throne room because I do not want the enemy to have access and cause me to sway. I don't want to have to reap. One thing I can assure you is every time we come in this house, I give it my all. Every single time, no matter how I feel, God gets it all in this house. And every time I come to this house, I get clean. It's vital. We hear about corporate worship all the time. We hear about the power in His presence, especially in corporate worship. And still people just don't show up for no reason. And still people come and they don't give it their all. Something bad is going on in your life. That should give you more reason to dive in harder. Not to sulk and ask why. Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. We must live in a constant heart purification process of searching ourselves through, seeking conviction, truly repenting for our mistakes. Taming our tongues is a big one. And always worshiping with everything we have, no matter how we feel. Just to kind of give you an idea of how we need to be worshiping, we know and we learn and we believe that Jesus is looking for Jesus in each and every one of us. So we are called to imitate Him in everything we do. The way He pursues us is the way we need to be pursuing Him. Zechariah 8. Starting at verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor, I am zealous for her. And this is how we need to be for Him. This is how we need to chase Him every single time we come in His place. Every single time you go in the war room, every single time you go to a service, every single time you have the opportunity to worship, you are to chase Him with great zeal. Everything you have goes to Him, worship in truth and in spirit. I'm telling you, you begin to do that and you're going to begin to see a cleansing, a healing, and a freeing like never before. It's guaranteed. I wanted to kind of give people an understanding and a different aspect of the power of assembly and how much they did it back in the days. I mean, this is not something that was taken lightly, especially not by David. I mean, this was his time. This was the part of his people. And it was an order from David for people to worship constantly. And this causes a maintaining of freedom from contamination and from defilement. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. So we know that worship is everything. But we know that first there must be true repentance, because we know the blood goes before the spirit. So we know that worship is vitally important, because you can repent all you want and receive the blood, but without the spirit, you can't maintain the washing of the blood. Amen. It's impossible. So the two go hand in hand. You must have the blood first and then the spirit. But if you don't have the spirit, you're going to fall back into a place where the blood is nullified. 16:34, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen," and praise the Lord. All the people. And I want to show you something in here where it says, if you go on, if you continue to go on in that part of the chapter, the section that is next, it says, "Regular worship maintained." That was an order from David that there be regular worship maintained. Not by one person, but if you go in and read that, there is name after name and family after family that was ordered to worship at all times. It had to be maintained. And let's skip down to verse 43 and then we'll be done here. "Then all the people departed, and every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house." This is vital. We have to begin to believe and make the resurrecting and transforming power that is in God's presence real to us. If you come every time and worship him with everything you have, all defilement and contamination will go in his presence. In truth and in spirit, we must worship consistently. The battle is raging, and if you are sitting on the sidelines, you will become a casualty. Amen. So do not allow the enemy to sway you into a defiled and contaminated heart. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're doing, get yourself in a place to get out of it. Get before the Lord, repent, turn, get in his presence, and get washed clean. Nobody is unforgivable. Amen? So it doesn't matter what you're doing. You have an opportunity to get before the Lord before it's too late. We've heard things of time maybe running out soon. We know that. Possibly the year 2030. And a lot of people are probably tempted to say, "Well, I got 7 more years. I can do whatever the heck I want and then repent before that." How do you know you're not going to go home tomorrow? The rapture might be in 7 years, not your time to go home. Amen? So don't take it lightly. Don't play games with God. Don't play games with sin. Don't play games with contamination. Get real with yourself and get real with him. And allow him to mold you into who he's called you to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and bless you, Lord. We thank you for this word. We ask that it grow and bear fruit for your glory, Lord. We repent for any thought, word, or deed that we've agreed with that was displeasing to you, Lord. And we take this time to surrender our hearts to you. And we ask that you mold them and you grow them and you cleanse them and you heal them in the way that you see fit, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to be before you, to know you, and to be loved and adored by you, Lord, and to be a worker of your kingdom. So we surrender. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we give you blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name.